And welcome to the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast, preaching Jesus Christ, crucified and risen from the dead, for the forgiveness and salvation of sinners, and returning to the earth soon to rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And now, here is Pastor Jim Duke with today's message.
I'm glad you've tuned in to the broadcast again this week. We're picking up our study here in John chapter 21, last chapter of the book of John. And a blessed chapter indeed. The whole thing is just wonderful, telling us about the Lord Jesus Christ and what he has done for sinners. The Lord Jesus Christ has been crucified. He's ascended to the Father. He's met with the church on two Sundays, first day of the week. Thomas has seen the Lord, and he believes. The Lord makes a statement that in verse number 29 of chapter 20, Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ speaking about us, who live in this day. We don't see the Lord Jesus Christ with physical eyes, but we do see him by faith in the scriptures and know that he lives evermore, and believe, we who are saved, we believe that the Lord Jesus Christ has died, was buried, and rose again from the dead for us. And it's just what John continues to testify here at the end of John chapter 20. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. And so John says these things are told, they're written, they're documented, and so that sinners would believe and might believe that Jesus is the Savior, the Christ, the Messiah, the Redeemer, the one that is given the atonement. He is the Son of God come down in the flesh, God the Son, ever with the Father, the Lord God Almighty, never having a beginning, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit of God, always in existence, never a start, never a beginning. The Son has come down and become a man, and that he might be a Savior for his people. And he says there, and that believing you might have life through his name. John also writes, we're going to jump forward here and just mention this at this time, in chapter 21, the very last two verses of this Gospel of John, in verse number 24, he writes this, This is the disciple which testifieth of these things, and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. And so here John writes, he says, the Lord Jesus Christ has done so much that if it was sought to write about everything that Jesus has done, the world could not contain the books. The world couldn't hold all the books. And so that's just how a testimony to how great the Lord Jesus Christ is. Here in John chapter 21, we see the Lord Jesus now dealing with his apostles, his disciples, after his ascension. He's going to deal with them about the things that he's commanded them to do. And so we see here Peter having an issue and conflict within himself, doubt. And so we want to take a look at this and see how the Lord Jesus Christ dealt with him. You know, if you're saved by the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ will deal with you. The scripture says that the Lord Jesus, the God Almighty, will chastise his children. Why? Because he loves us. And he'll rebuke us. He'll chasten us because he loves us. He says, and the scripture says that makes it very clear that if the Lord doesn't chasten you, you're not a child of God. And because he does work in his own. And so we see this evidenced here. The Lord has given a directive to the apostles about what they should do and pursue. And here the brethren are found doing something else. And the Lord Jesus Christ deals with them. And I'm thankful that he does. In chapter 21, verse number 1 of John, the Gospel of John, after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, or the Sea of Galilee. And on this wise showed he himself. And so he's going to appear unto them. And this evidently is in that 40 days that Acts chapter 1 tells us about. The brethren evidently go home. They go home to Galilee. Peter and his brother are from a city that is there north on the Sea of Galilee. And it slipped my mind what the name of that town is. I'll tell you right now, Capernaum. And so they go back evidently to Capernaum, and Peter says this. There were together, verse number 2, Simon Peter and Thomas, called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. So there's six other brethren that are with Peter. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. And so Peter says, I'm going back to something that I'm comfortable with. I'm going back to what I know. I'm going back to where I can deal with the ups and downs of fishing. Peter, no doubt having been a fisherman all of his life and taught by his father to do so, the scripture bears out that when the Lord called them, they left their father with the nets and the servants that are there in that operation. Peter says, I'm going back to something I understand and something that is stable and something that is that I can handle. I can handle mentally. And here's the thing is look what Peter does in his confidence about what he should do, in his confidence about going back to something that he understands and that he deems to be stable and right and appropriate. Peter draws with him six others. And, you know, we've got to watch what we do. We've got to watch what we say. As the children of God and saved by the Lord, members of his New Testament Baptist churches, we've got to watch what we say and what we do, because we are being a witness to those round about us. Now, hear what I'm saying. I didn't say that we were necessarily being a good witness, but we are being a witness, and that's it. We're either being a good witness of the things of the Lord, or we're being a bad witness because what we're holding to and standing in are the things of the world. Are we being a witness of the world, or are we being a witness of the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ? That's where it's at. There's no middle ground in this. A witness for the way of the world, or a witness for the way of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Peter says, I go fishing, and these other brethren say, we're going with you. And so Peter takes these fellas, and he's leading them astray. He's leading them. They've been told what to do. They've been commanded of the Lord. The Lord is meeting with them. He's meeting with them over the course of this 40 days after his resurrection to teach them things and to show himself in a physical bodily form that they might know that he is alive, and that they might be solid in that they might go on and witness to the world. That's who they've been sent. That's who they've been sent to. And Simon Peter, he's going fishing, and the Lord is going to talk to him here in these coming verses about what the Lord has called him to do, and that is the feeding of his lambs and the feeding of his sheep. That's what Peter is to be doing, and namely there in Jerusalem. And so where the first church is, where the Lord Jesus left his church. And so these brethren, Thomas and Thomas and Nathaniel and James and John of the sons of Zebedee, and then two others that are not named, follow Peter. And he says, "I'm going fishing." And they said, "We're going to go with you." And so it's there in the middle of verse 3. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately. And that night they caught nothing. So they go out. Peter says, "I haven't been fishing in a long time. We're going to go out here and get some fish." No doubt they were going to take that fish and not only eat it, but sell it. That was the business that they were in. And they went and worked all night and didn't catch a thing. In verse number 4, the scripture says, "But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, and the disciples knew not that it was Jesus." And so he's standing over on the shore. They maybe see that there's a man over there, but they don't know that it is the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus said unto them, verse 5, "Children, have ye any meat?" Notice the Lord Jesus here and his call. You know, the name, one of the names in Isaiah of the Lord Jesus Christ is the Everlasting Father. And indeed, he is a father to his people. Oh, what a savior and what a friend. But what a father, too. One that so loves his children. He gave his life for his people, and he loves us. And may we reverence him. May we reverence him, and may we hang on every word that he declares. "Children, have you any meat?" He knows they have need of nourishment. He knows that they have needs. And if you remember back on the Sermon on the Mount, that the Lord Jesus Christ, he declares plainly there in Matthew chapter 6 that he will provide. He will provide. Oh, may we remember that. May I remember that. It's this world, and the way of this world is just so ever before us. The Lord Jesus Christ says here in Matthew chapter 6, in verse number 25, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to his stature? Who can add a foot and a half to their height? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, and they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. The Lord, if the Lord takes care of the grass of the field, will he not take care of his people? Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast in the oven," it's just very temporary, "shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek." There's the way of the world. "For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." Seek the kingdom of God and what the Lord says is right. His righteousness and all these things shall be added unto you. "Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." Contentment with godliness indeed is great gain before the Lord. Children, have you any meat? Well, the Lord's going to deal with the disciples here about this very thing, his calling and a reminding of his provision. Well, I see their time has passed for now. Thanks so much for tuning in. May the Lord bless you with his word and his truth. Farewell until next time.
Thank you for tuning in and listening to our broadcast. We wish to invite you, your family, and friends to our services on Sundays at 10 a.m., 11 a.m., and 2 p.m. and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Olmsted Baptist Church is located in southwest Logan County, Kentucky, just 2.5 miles off of U.S. Highway 79. Between Russellville and Guthrie, turn onto State Route 775, also known as Olmsted Road. Drive 2.5 miles and you will find our church house on the right, just beside Whippoorwill Creek. We're interested in any questions or comments you might have about our broadcast. Feel free to contact us by telephone at 270-726-3954, by email at obchurch@gmail.com, or on the web at www.olmstedbaptistchurch.org. Tune in next Sunday at this same time for another edition of the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast.